Well, guys, good morning. Go ahead and grab your copy of God's Word. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3 is where we'll be today. Ephesians chapter 3. We continue in our series, Unlocking the Power of Prayer. And the title of this morning's message is simply, Better Than Sticking Your Finger in a Light Socket. How many of y'all done that before? Woo! Yeah, it gives you a hair-raising experience, doesn't it? You know, think about it. We parents today, we're just so much more cautious, more worried than previous generations about the dangers of a lot of things. Electrical shock to our children. I mean, when our grandparents were raising kids, think about this. They didn't have all those plastic inserts. How many of y'all have a house that's got plastic inserts and all like the electrical outlets? I mean, you know, I mean, they never used those. Of course, they also thought smoking was good for you. And the only restraint you had in the car standing up in the front seat driving down the road was your parents' arm. You know what I'm talking about? So we've made some advancements, okay? We've made some advancements. But nevertheless, you know, mom would come along and she'd say things like, oh, honey, don't stick your butter knife in that light socket. Don't do that. And dads are like, oh, let him do it. He'll learn the hard way. It had to be a dad that said, that which doesn't kill you only makes you stronger. But now, you know, every outlet in the house, it's all stopped up with these plastic things, and that's a good thing. I mean, that's a good thing. The only problem is they're really hard to get out. You know, you go to get one out and dad has to go get a butter knife to get the thing out. And so the kid's safe, but dad's about to get lit up. You know what I'm saying? So you got to be careful of those. June 21st of this year is a day that Sean O'Connor will never forget. You don't know, it's not just like light sockets you got to worry about if you're looking for a little electrical shock. This is a man that lives in Atlanta, Georgia, and on that Saturday, he was outside doing some yard work, and he heard a crack. Next thing he knows, he's waking up, picking himself up out of the yard, and as he's kind of getting his senses, he realizes something weird. He's barefoot. And he wasn't barefoot just a moment ago. He had his work boots on, and as he sort of staggers around and begins to look for his boots, he notices them several feet away with smoke coming off of them. Here's a picture of the guy. See the smoke coming off his boot? That's a real picture. He woke up after being hit by lightning and started a video, and that's a picture of his boots with the smoke rolling off of them. He was struck by lightning. Now, fortunately, guys, he lived to tell the tale. He went to the hospital, and the doctors confirmed that indeed he had been hit by lightning. But lightning is a power from on high that will literally knock you out of your boots. Today I want to talk with you about a power from God on high that won't knock you out of your boots, but will bless you out of your boots. And this power comes to us through the act of prayer. If you want to be blessed out of your boots, or maybe you say, just bless my socks off. If you want your socks or your boots blessed off, pray. Pray. That's the point of this morning's message. The point is simple. Get on your knees in prayer to receive power from God above. Get on your knees in prayer to receive power from God above. And I promise you, it's way better than sticking your finger in a light socket. I want you to look with me at verse 14 through 16 here in our text. The text says this, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being." Guys, that's what we need, isn't it? We need to be strengthened in our inner man, our inner woman from God above. Think about it, guys. We are finite and he's infinite. We're weak, but he is strong. He's powerful, all powerful, and we are virtually powerless, aren't we? Virtually powerless. Now, here's the good news. We're weak, but God is strong and he's not stingy. God is not stingy. Right? He desires to share his strength with us. And how do we get it? We get it through prayer. We get it through prayer on our knees in prayer to God. Now, in this message, y'all, I'm not advocating some magical prayer posture, okay, to receive power from God. That's not what I'm talking about. When I'm talking about getting down on your knees in prayer, I'm not saying that that's the key to getting the power from above. But let me say this, it is perfectly fine if you want to get down on your knees in prayer. In fact, let me go a step further. You should, if you're physically able to get down on your knees, you from time to time should get down on your knees in prayer. You see, saints all throughout the scripture praying on their knees. And we here in the 21st century, in 2014, should certainly do the same, okay? It's a posture of humility. It's a posture of dependence. It's a posture of allegiance. As we come to this text here, Ephesians chapter 3 is where we are today. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 on down. You'll notice this is a passage on prayer, but Paul never mentions the word prayer. It's never even mentioned here. Instead, he uses a euphemism for prayer. Notice what he uses. I bow my knees before the Father. You see, in Paul's world, in his experience, in his life, they were synonymous. I mean, to pray was to be on your knees. For me, that's why I'm so thankful for my spiritual mentor, Melvin Phelps. He's one of my mentors, love him to death. When I was the associate pastor at Crofton Baptist over north of Hopkinsville, Melvin was my senior pastor, and he was a prayer warrior. And he's just a man of prayer. And Melvin would spend hours. I mean, it was nothing for him to go pray a couple hours back in the prayer room. And sometimes I would need something, and so I'd hate to go interrupt him, but I would. And where would I find him? On his knees in prayer. He taught me to pray on my knees. We spend a lot of time praying together in that posture of prayer. And so I would encourage you guys, just as Paul says here, I bow my knees. I would encourage you, if you're physically able from time to time in your private or in your small group prayer time, to get on your knees in prayer. Let that humble you. Now, again, it's not a magical posture for prayer. Okay, the power is not found in the position, but in the God to whom you're praying. So the main worry here is not that you get on your knees, but that you actually pray to God, okay, who is the source of spiritual power. But nevertheless, get on your knees in prayer to receive power from God above. And our text here today talks about four different powers that come into our life through prayer. Four different powers. The first power I want to share with you this morning that we can receive from God above when we get on our knees in prayer is the power of faith. The power of faith. Look at verse 17. We're going to start in verse 14 and go forward to 17. But notice here the power of faith that's talked about. Paul writes, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being." And here it is, verse 17. "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." There it is. The power of faith. Guys, faith is vitally important. In fact, Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And faith, we know from the scripture, is not just a work of man. It's a gift from God. That's what we learn from Ephesians 2:8, that even the salvation that we have through faith, that faith that is our saving faith, is not just a work in ourselves. It's a gift from God. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 2:8. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." So certainly once we are gifted with this faith, it becomes our faith, but its source is from God. Praise God for the grace of God. Amen? Praise God for the grace of God. But faith, I mean, it doesn't just play a role in the beginning, in the genesis of our salvation. It's an everyday thing that touches every single part of our spiritual life. Every single part of it. Every day we have to put on faith, don't we? Every day we have to believe and walk in faith. But you know what? Every day it's also a battle. That's why Paul said in 1 Timothy, to fight the good fight of what, church? Faith. And sometimes it is a battle. That's why in Ephesians 6, later on in this book here, Paul tells us to take up the shield of faith. It's a battle. That's why it's so important for us, guys, to ask God to fill us with the power of faith. Because there are going to be days when your faith just soars, right? You believe all things are possible. You're trusting in God. You're walking with God, believing He can do all things. And then there are other days, and you're like, I don't even know if I want to get out of bed today. I'm just doubt. I'm full of doubt. I'm weak today. I don't feel like I've got it today. That's why we've got to get on our knees and ask God that you would be filled with faith to believe that God's promises are yes and amen. That's why I appreciate so much the story that Mark records for us in the gospel, this very prayer that I'm talking about of asking to be filled with faith. Go with me to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9 in the 14th verse. I just want to read this down here. But I want you to see here the prayer of asking to be filled with faith. Mark chapter 9 in the 14th verse. The Bible says this, and when they came to the disciples, they saw a crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him and asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they weren't able." And he, Jesus, that's Jesus here, answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him, and when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." And immediately the father of the child cried out, here it is, church, "I believe. Help me in my unbelief." Help my unbelief. There's the prayer I'm talking about here, right? I believe. Help my unbelief. I have faith. Give me more faith. That's the prayer that we need. When we are weak in faith, he makes us strong. Continuing on in verse 25, "And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, 'You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again.'" Beloved, we need to pray like that father right there. It doesn't matter how strong or how weak your faith is right now. We need more faith. We need to ask God for more faith through prayer. "I believe. Help my unbelief. I have faith. Give me more faith." Get on your knees in prayer to receive power from God above. The power of faith from God above. Let me pray for you. I want to pray for you right now that we as a congregation would be strong in faith. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, in this sanctuary, God, are people at all different points of faith. God, there are those who have not yet trusted Christ. We might say that at this point they have zero faith. Father, I pray today that you would help them to grow, that they would see Christ and they would run to Christ. They would see him as glorious, and today would be the day that they would take their faith and put it in Jesus. And there are others here, Lord, who are doubting this morning. They believe, but God, we want you to help us in our unbelief. Father, would you fill us with faith even this morning to believe that your promises are yes and amen, to believe that your word is true, to believe the church that you've established is your plan, and we're going to commit to it and work in it and love your church. Father, help us to give and to serve with faith. Help us to step out. Father, I'm convinced, God, that there's somebody here that you're calling to take that next step. Whatever that step is, God, in their life, to grow and to do a new venture for you, Father. Would you increase their faith that they may walk out, even as Peter walked out on the water, into the unknown, Lord? Give us faith this morning, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. That's the first power, the power of faith. The second power we can receive from God above when we get on our knees in prayer is the power of love. The power of love. Focus in on the end of verse 17 there. Look at verse 17. That you being rooted and grounded in love. See, that's what Paul was praying for this people. And that's what you and I should be praying for ourselves. The power of love. Church, God is love. It doesn't say that he's like love. He is love. And so it should not surprise us that those who have the Holy Spirit in them would bear the fruit of love, right? If God is love and the Holy Spirit is God, then those who have the Holy Spirit would manifest and bear the fruit of love. If God is love, it wouldn't surprise us, it shouldn't anyway, that God commands us to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. God is love, and naturally he expects his children to exude and to manifest love. But love isn't always easy, is it? It's not always easy. In fact, very often it's very difficult. For instance, listen to whom God calls you to love. Listen to Matthew 5:44. Matthew 5:44, listen to this. Jesus says, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for them. Pray for those who persecute you. I remember as you read that, it's like, really, Lord? Really? I mean, you want me to love my enemies? I mean, there are days I have trouble even rightly loving my wife and kids. I mean, and they're for me. They love me. I mean, you want me to love my enemies? And Jesus answers back, I didn't stutter, right? I told you to love your enemies. Church, how we need to pray for the power of love in our lives. That we would love rightly. That we would love with the right motivation. That we would love to the depth that God would have us to love. Because I don't know about your heart, I'm just going to talk about mine for a minute. My heart is often weak. My heart is often fickle. My love waxes and wanes so easily. Therefore, we need, and I'm sure my heart is like yours, we need power from God above to love those around us, don't we? We need that power from God in order to love God rightly. We need power from God above to love our family rightly. We need power from God above to love our friends and neighbors. And you better believe we need power from God above to love our enemies. Because that goes against everything within our flesh, doesn't it? I mean, our flesh says, hate your enemies. But God says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, those who have hurt you, those who will hurt you. You see, you and I, we can't do this love work on our own strength. We need God's provision, okay? We need God's provision, and God will bless. Notice what he'll do. Look at our text here, verse 17. Through the power of the Spirit, he says that he will root and ground us in love. You know what that means? That means that by the power of God, we become settled on a strong foundation of love. And that's what you and I need. That's what you and I need, because we naturally love ourselves and not others, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. If we will get on our knees in prayer to receive the power of love from God above, we can love the way God desires us to. So let me pray for us that we would love, that we would receive that power of love. Let's pray together. Father, I lift up this congregation. God, I lift up my own heart. I recognize I fall short in the love department. Father, I often expect it, but very reluctantly give it. Father, I want to love like Jesus. Help us to see people through your eyes, that our heart would break, that we would withhold judgment, that we would withhold condemnation, God, but that we would love and meet needs in love. Father, I pray it would start at home. God, I pray that husbands here would love their wives as Christ loved the church, and that wives would respect their husbands and obey their husbands, which is an act of love. Even Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so obedience from a wife is an act of love. Father, I pray that we'd be able to love our children rightly, our neighbors rightly, and Father, even our enemies. Undoubtedly, Father, there is someone in our hearts, God, this morning that we are hard against. Yet you call us to love them. You call us to even pray for them. And so, God, I just pray that this would be from above come down, the power of love on this congregation, that even Plano, the community of Plano, would see our love as we let our light shine before men. They would see our good works and praise you, Father. We thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. That's the second power, the power of love. Third, I want to share with you the power of knowledge. The power of knowledge. Focus in on verse 18 with me. Verse 18. So that you, basically, is what's introducing this. So that you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. You know, we know so little, okay? I mean, even the smartest of you here among us, compared to other folks and even compared to God, know so little, right? Again, we're finite beings. Even the smartest person on the planet knows very little, but God knows all things. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's all-seeing. There's nothing that's hidden from him. There's no fact or no truth that escapes his knowledge. And so, check this out. When we get on our knees in prayer and we ask God for knowledge, we're going to the source of all knowledge. Is there something that you lack understanding in? Then ask God for it. I don't care if it's physics or mathematics or biology or music or the Bible or tiddlywinks. Ask God for it. Ask God for it. Now, most likely, he's not going to just zap you with the ability to just do it. But here's the deal. As you work for it, as you try to learn and to grow, here's what God will do. He will bless you with the ability to comprehend that which you're pursuing. You'll gain breadth and length and height and depth in your knowledge. But most importantly, and here's the most important part, you'll gain the length and breadth and depth of God's love. That's the most important thing, right? I mean, if you want to grow in knowledge, there are a lot of good things to pursue. A lot of good things to try to understand, but nothing's more precious than understanding the love of God. Nothing is more precious than that. You see, here's the deal. It puts everything into perspective. When you understand that God loves you, that even while you were a sinner, Christ died for you, that his love will never let you go. He'll never leave you nor forsake you, that he has you and he's fixed his love on you. It puts everything into perspective. It makes life sweeter. It helps us persevere all things. So I beg you, church, get on your knees in prayer and ask God for the power of knowledge, and then get into the books. But most importantly, get into the book. Here's where you understand and come to understand and be wise in what matters most in this life, which is the love of God. And I promise you, in this Bible, God has revealed everything that you need to know about him. And you'll never exhaust him. Even the dearest, oldest saint among us, even though maybe he or she has been walking with the Lord for 80, 90 years, he or she has not yet exhausted God. Still, every day he's new. Every day he's more. As you learn more and more about him, you'll never stop learning about him. And here's something that's really glorious to our hearts. Every day, there's a new wonder at the Lord, right? A new awe, a new delight in Him as you learn more about Him. He's always fresh. He's always new as you grow in your knowledge of Him. So get on your knees in prayer to receive the power of knowledge from God above. Think about this. Solomon asked for it, didn't he? Remember that? God came to Solomon and said, Solomon, basically through his prophet, what would you have? And Solomon asked for wisdom and knowledge. And God blessed. You and I should as well. So let me pray for you that God would give you the power of knowledge. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that this congregation would be the smartest people on the planet. I pray they would comprehend whatever they put their mind to. But Father, most importantly, I pray that they would have the knowledge of You and understand the fullness of Your love. God, we need Christian astrophysicists. We need Christian surgeons. We need Christian funeral directors. We need Christian ditch diggers. God, we need every facet of life infiltrated with the Christian faith. And I pray that they would understand a vocation. They would understand the books and all those things, God. But I pray most of all, they would understand You and love You and be amazed by You. Father, give us knowledge. Give this congregation knowledge of all things, but of You most importantly, Father. And all God's people said, amen. And then the final power listed in our text here that you can receive from God above when we get on our knees in prayer is the power of intimacy. The power of intimacy. Maybe you've never thought about that as a power. I'm talking about here intimacy with God, okay? Intimacy with God. Notice verse 19. And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You're saying, well, preacher, where are you getting the word intimacy here? I think it's right there to say to know the love of Christ. You see, to love Christ is to experience intimacy with God, closeness with God. And that's a powerful thing. When you're close to God, intimate with God, again, it changes everything. To know that God loves you, to know that He's close, to know that He's near you and you're near Him, it changes how we act. It changes how we react. It changes how we think, how we feel, how we plan, how we pursue things. Knowing the love of God, not just a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge, a knowledge that comes through experience. That has powerful effects on our life. Think about it. It certainly impacted and changed Paul's life. Right? It absolutely took Paul's life and turned his world upside down. He was once pursuing a life of persecution, persecuting Christ and His church. He was growing in his knowledge of the law and self-righteousness and man-made religion. But then he met Jesus. And it rocked his world, so much so that we get his testimony from Philippians 3, 7 through 11. And I want you to notice the intimacy that he was pursuing with God. Listen to this. Verse 7 of Philippians 3, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I've suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. And then just hear this, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share His sufferings. Notice the one-on-one correlation here. He wants to be right with Jesus, sharing His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. You look at Paul's life, church, and more than anything in the world, he wanted intimacy with God. He wanted to walk step in step with Jesus. Is that what you want for your life? If you want that for your life, then guess what? Perhaps the greatest way for you to experience that is to get on your knees and talk to him in prayer. It's amazing, y'all. You get on your knees in prayer and you close your eyes and you begin to commune with God and to talk to God. And it's amazing the closeness that you feel with him. The intimacy. It's like he's right there beside you, face to face with you. And the truth of the matter is that he is. In prayer, though, you become keenly aware of it. And that intimacy is there. You're with him. So get on your knees in prayer to receive the power of intimacy from God above. May I pray for you one more time this morning with this? Father, I pray for this congregation that from above, Father, you would bless us with intimacy with you, Father. We know that Christ has made a way. The barrier has been torn down, and so there's no longer separation. You desire to be as close to us, Lord, as possible. And so I pray that for the people. I pray that for me, God, that I would not just be a follower of Christ, but I would be a close follower of Christ. I don't want to be third row. I don't want to be a back row Baptist. I want to be front row right there with Jesus, Lord. I pray that for this people. I pray, Father, that you would bless them in their prayer time as they get on their knees or however it is, whatever posture of prayer they get in, God. And as they close their eyes and begin to lift up their heart to you, Father, that you would bless them with your presence. And they would know that you are their God and you're with them and that you love them. And Father, that intimacy, God, I pray it would break out into the rest of their life, into the rest of their life, God, that they would have that power that's found through intimacy. And all God's people said, amen. Beloved, here before I finish, I don't want you to miss the benediction here. In Ephesians 3, verse 20 and 21, don't miss this benediction because it's like the icing on the cake, okay? It's like icing on the cake. Now to him, verse 21, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. So what does that mean? That means, friends, that when you get down on your knees to God in prayer, God might not only give you what you asked for, he just might go above and beyond any blessing you asked for and just pour out on you things that you never even thought to ask for. Most of you here have heard of the great golfer Arnold Palmer. And the story goes like this. Here's the story about Palmer. He was once invited to play an exhibition match in Saudi Arabia by the Saudi king. And after the match, the king was so impressed with his golf play that the king wanted to give him a special gift to commemorate the visit. And so Palmer's trying to be all humble and all that. And he says, listen, King, it's really not necessary, Your Highness. I mean, I'm honored just to have been invited. To which the king replied, I'd be deeply upset if you would not allow me to give you a gift. And so Palmer thought carefully for a moment and not wanting to dishonor the king. Here's what he answered. He said, all right, why don't you give me a golf club? The king was pleased with Palmer's request and promised Palmer would have it on his return to the U.S. And so on the flight back, I mean, that kind of came back to Palmer's mind, and he was flying in the plane and he was kind of wondering what kind of club the king would give him. Maybe it'd be like a solid gold putter. Maybe it'd be a diamond-adorned iron set, or maybe even a jewel-encrusted driver with his name engraved on it. I mean, he was kind of dreaming big. Well, whatever it would be, Palmer knew that he was going to put it on his wall and display it for everybody to see because it was going to be like a cherished trophy. And so, again, it was from a king, right? That's a pretty big deal. So a few weeks later, after Palmer gets home, he received a letter in the mail. It was from the king. It was just a letter. He's thinking, well, not a box. You know, I mean, it's hard to put a golf club in an envelope. And so he took it. He began to open it. And what he found inside shocked him. The king did indeed give him a golf club. But as he opened the envelope, it was a deed to a golf club, okay? Think about that for a moment. Complete with multiple facilities, a clubhouse, and thousands of acres of land. We often ask God, church, for a golf club that we can hit the ball with. But God, because He's able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or even think, gives us a golf club where we can hit a ball instead of hitting with. That's the kind of God that we serve. Nothing is impossible with Him, and He loves to bless. He loves to bless. The only question is, will you get on your knees and ask Him? Ask Him. Ask Him for these spiritual blessings. Ask Him for physical blessings too. I mean, be bold. I mean, if you didn't get a chance to hear my message from last Sunday, I was over at the East Campus. Go back and listen to that message. I talk in that message about going boldly before the throne of God and asking Him, not being unashamed in what you ask for. Let God sort out if it's good for you or not. You just ask Him. Be bold, okay? Be bold. But ask Him for spiritual things too. And I pray that He would bless you with faith and love and knowledge and intimacy and so much more. So much more. And so here's my prayer for you this morning. May God fill you with power from on high through prayer, even more so than you ever imagined. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your goodness and mercy. Father, even as I said a moment ago when I talked about the prayer of faith, the power of faith, God, is there somebody here this morning that You're calling to trust Christ? I pray that that prayer would, this very moment, God, be lifted up to You and they would give their life to You. Father, thank You for this congregation. We've prayed for a lot of things already this morning, God, but You've heard our prayers and You know our hearts. More importantly, Father, You know what we need before we even ask. And so, God, we ask You to bless this morning. Is it more love that we need? Then give it, God. If it's more intimacy with You, Father, give it. If it's knowledge, bless us, please, God. If it's faith, fill us up to overflowing. Father, You're the source of all spiritual power. And we turn to You this morning, God, with hands wide open, empty, saying, fill it up, Lord. Fill it up. Father, we thank You for Your word. May it not return void this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to move into a time of invitation this morning. And we don't do this out of tradition. We want to give you a genuine opportunity to respond. We have chairs set up here on the front. They're just sort of prayer chairs. If you want to come forward and just kneel down and get on your face before God and begin to ask Him through prayer, don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. You have one audience that you're worried about, and that's God. Maybe today the Lord is speaking to you about salvation. Today's the day that God is calling you to give your life to Christ. I'm going to be right here, and I would love to introduce you to Jesus. Just step out from your pew as we sing this song. Just be obedient to God. I'll be here. You can pray right here. Again, just be obedient to God. Let's stand together. Pastor Mark, lead us, please.
There is love that came for us, humbled to a sinner's cross, broke my shame and sinfulness, it rose again victorious. Faithfulness sets me free, Jesus Christ, who lives in me. You are stronger, You are stronger. Sin is broken, You have saved me. It is written, You came to seek and save the lost. You paid it all upon the cross. You are stronger. You are stronger. Sin is broken.
Continuing as you give back, I pray you would give as an act of worship to the Lord. As the men get into place, Father, praise you. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you through giving. God, you've blessed us in so many ways, and so I ask God this morning that we would be able to give back, Father, based upon how you have blessed us, how you have gifted us. Father, may we give with that sort of heart back. That we would not be stingy with you, God, because you've not been stingy with us. You've lavished blessing on us in so many ways. Father, would you take this money and do great things with it, Lord? Ministry here on the earth that would extend the kingdom of heaven. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.